of the areas that we can do that is with this ministry, Tyke Time. So as we move forward, you're going to start hearing more about what Tyke Time is. All right, so that's a little teaser. Just wanted to put that in front of you. A couple of announcements that we do have coming up. We have a Monday, Thursday communion service. It is April 1st at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. It's just it's being led by Pastor Jay. I'm excited to be a part of it and just be here and just be in the presence of Christ. All right, and kind of taking part of what that Thursday looked like. Right, and we have Easter coming up, right? We have Easter coming up. I believe that's April 4th. Our service time is going to change. We're going to ask you kind of get up a little bit earlier, be here by 10. Service is going to start at 10, so be here by 9:30. Doors will be open. We'd love for you to be here. There is no breakfast. There's no food yet. Someday we will get back to where we can have food, but not quite yet. We're not there yet. Please be patient with us on that. After service, we have, after April 4th service, Easter service, we're having an Easter egg hunt. We're going to have all these families that are going to be there and give the kids a chance to get all these eggs filled with candy, which we need candy. We need prepackaged candy, so bring it for the next couple of weeks, all right? We need that. But what I'm going to challenge the church is not just to go home after service, to celebrate these kids getting this candy, to be part, just to cheer them on, to root them on, to be excited for them, to see what they get in their eggs, to open it up, just to be part of their family, to know that they're important. Our hope is some of the families that haven't been here because, you know, they're afraid of COVID, they haven't had a connection for a while, that they're back on this Sunday. And that they know they were missed. That they know that they are part of a community that loves them. We understand it's scary during this time. It's been scary for a year. And we're hoping that the fears are kind of dissipating. We're hoping that the COVID starts to fade away. We're praying for that, right? We're hoping that this also brings an opportunity for them to come back. And we're praying for that. So be praying for that. Be praying for these families that are coming on this Easter. Maybe this might be the only Sunday that they make it to. Our hope is that they see Christ during this service. Right? And that maybe that's from a moment of worship. Maybe that's a moment of whatever is being set up here. But more importantly, that there's a moment between you, God, and this person. Right? That it's not banked on anybody that's on this stage, that it's banked on us as a community. To love our people and to love God. And so Easter, to be thinking about that. Be praying about that. We want to see God move every week, right? I've been in a place that the pastor said every Sunday needs to be Easter. Think about that. Imagine if we came with the mindset we're here to celebrate the risen King. And our heart bows down to that. Right? We should be in awe this morning of that. We should. And sometimes this becomes so easy to play out and just do. I'm guilty of that. But if we can think of every Sunday as Easter, we worship a risen King. Praise God, right? That's awesome. A couple things. I think I hit it all, actually. Anything I miss? Wife, did I miss anything? I promised not to talk too much about Michelle today. That's why she's here. I love you. Another thing that I know that's in the world right now is this NCAA tournament. I already expect people to have their phones out, checking scores, seeing live updates. I want you to know the pain and agony that it is for me right now, in some sorts, to be standing up here and not watching my Illini. Yes, my Illini. All right? I'm a huge Illini fan. All right? I'm a huge Illini fan, and it's awesome that they're in the dance. It's awesome they made pass the first round. I can't tell you how much stress I had that day. I thought, they're going to be the second 16 seed. I know it. I'm so negative. Anyway, you know what's more important? I'm so happy to be here, though. Honestly, I'm so happy to be here. To be able to bring the gospel, to preach that, is so much more overwhelming. And I tell you what, I was convicted in my seat just a second out and singing that song that we surrender all, everything, and stand in your presence. I love that. And I want to worship them that way, right? And so nothing else needs to be on my mind and my heart right now except for God and just bringing his message. I hope you hear that this morning. Now, I won't convict you if you're looking at the scores. So if you have your head down, oh, so be it. I also have already talked to some guys. I know they're probably going to fall asleep because they stayed up all night. Good luck to you guys. I'm kind of called them out. I love them. It's awesome that they're here, though, right? Praise God this morning, right? We've been talking about prayer and praying dangerously. And normally, we don't think of those two things together. I don't really normally think, hey, I'm going to pray, and it could be dangerous to pray. Usually I'm thinking, I'm just going to have a conversation with God, and God's going to listen. Have you ever had a conversation as a husband going, ha, I just threw my wife under the bus. Have you ever had a conversation with your wife, and you're just going along, and you're like, oh, I just said something dangerous. Didn't realize it until I saw her face. Anybody? Anybody? Just, okay, Jay, sweet. All right, got a couple of you. We can go to lunch sometime, all right? Commiserate. The other husbands are just too afraid. It's all right. We have like an AA for you guys, all right? Trust me. Praying with God is not a one-way conversation. Do you understand that? It is not a time where we just vent off all our frustrations and concerns and our petitions. One of the hardest things that we don't understand with God is there needs to be a time that we listen. And maybe even pose a question like, hey, God, how can you use me today? Do you understand just in that statement can be scary? As I was writing this sermon, as I was preparing it in my heart and my mind, all I could think about is Uber, Lyft, and taxis. Anybody ever take any of those? You ever take an Uber? A Lyft? Do you understand what that is? You're getting into some stranger's car and you're paying them. And hopefully they take you to your destination. And the only consequence if they don't is just a bad review. Think about that. I've ridden in a couple Ubers and Lyfts. They've always been successful. You have some interesting conversations, but you're at their mercy. Now, taxi drivers is a little bit different, right? They work for a company. They could get their medallion taken away, and Uber drivers can get their stuff taken away from them, too, but it just seems a little bit different. If I'm an Uber driver, I can go to be a Lyft driver afterwards. Just kind of different kind of expectations there. But you're kind of at their risk. And I started thinking about, what if I was an Uber driver? Yeah, my mind is kind of broken. I understand that. And I would try to be multitasking during that time. Go pick somebody up and say, hey, I know you have a place to be, but do you mind if I go in really quick and do some shopping? You're even welcome to come and help me. It's like hired help. Like, yeah, they're paying me to help shop with me. That's great mind right there, I feel like. All right? Here's this part of the list. I'll even cut your Uber fee in half. Can you imagine that? Or going, hey, I don't really feel like going that part of town. I know I picked you up. Do you mind just hanging out with me for a while at my house? We can watch something. Basketball. Right? Just randomly stopping the whole, it's crazy to think about that. Like it wouldn't happen. Right? You would probably be really upset if you were the passenger of my Uber. Like you didn't get where you wanted to go. In fact, guarantee halfway through, you would cancel your ride, you wouldn't pay me, and then probably have something nasty to say about me as your Uber driver, right? Now, I'm hoping this doesn't happen as a pastor, right? But you can search up my email address and write something if you feel like there's negative. That's fine. I can take it. But half the time, I think within our aspect of what we view God in us is this. We're still driving, which actually, theologically, I think is sound. and we invite God into our car. And then we just want God to come along for the ride. And God is, you want me to go here. But really, it's not the best part of town. I just don't feel comfortable about it. I don't know the way. It's not coming up in my GPS. I can't go. And we live in that fear, and we'd rather God just kind of sit in the back seat and just be quiet and let us tell him of how our day is going. I've been frustrated, God. Traffic is horrible. I don't want to go home because I know I have a lot of chores. Work, come on now. You know work. It's not fun. I just feel like everywhere I'm turning, God, it's a disappointment. I'm tired of this. Can you solve this? Well, he's ready and he's going, hey, I need you to take a right here. There's a person that needs my love, my hands, my feet. And we don't hear that. We have a tendency to maybe crank the radio up. And we sing our Christian songs. And we start to drown God out. We've been talking, first week was about the Lord's Prayer. And if you remember, it starts off, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that simple statement, when we pray it, if we really believe it, he is the ruler and master of your heart. Think about that. He's the ruler and master in your heart, and when you pray that, what you're saying is nothing else in this world matters. Long as your will be done. So the first thing I wake up and I think about is who? God. As I go to lunch and I have conversations with people and I'm thinking about how hungry I am, God is at the forefront of all of that. That is the first dangerous prayer of this series. To know that I'm setting down all my wants and my desires and bowing down my life to allow God to sit at the throne of my heart, which means everything I plan and I do, every worry is surrounded by what God wants, what God needs from me, not the other way around. Think about that. Have we honestly done that with our lives? Have I prayed that? And if I prayed it, did I really mean it? And if I meant it, how have I lived it out? Because to mean it means that I cannot just say it and I'm like, oh, well, the emotions and everything are there, but the commitment is not. It means I act out knowing that God's will is at the center of everything. Even how I view television, even how I view my friendships, even how I view politics. God is at the center of that. The next prayer was, search me. David said, search my heart, O God. We talked about this last week. And what that says is, God, if there is anything in me that you know, that you see, that you are aware of, that every ounce of me that needs your conditioning, that needs your touch, I give your permission to do. That's scary. Last week we talked about that. We don't necessarily like to be criticized. We don't want to see the truth sometimes because the truth can hurt. It can be painful. But if we pray this prayer, this is showing us who we are and where we're at and where we need to go and where we need to be at already. One of the biggest complaints as being a pastor for 20 years that I've seen out of churches is that the moment they got saved, the spiritual development stopped. It was like an end of their destination. I've made it. And nowhere in Scripture it says that. There is a desire from that moment that you are on a journey with God and that he's trying to drag us, kick us, move us, motivate us to be where he wants us to go. Right? But in order to do that, many times our hearts need to be searched out and shown, hey, this area is not healthy. You've been lying nonstop. You've been gossiping nonstop. You've been stealing nonstop. You've been saying horrible things about your neighbor. I love them. See, God, when we ask this prayer, when we say, like David, search my heart, O God. Make me a godly man, a godly woman. What we're saying is, whatever is in me, I want you to rip it away. Anything that separates us, please take. Please mold. And one of the things of the human condition that's so tough is change. One of the cool things I've already seen, pals. I saw the pals over here 1 week and the pals over here 1 week, and now they're over here. And I gave them a tease, like, you can't find your perfect spot. I love it. And Kate told me it's because mom gets bored. Like, not sure if that means the sermons or it's just the place. That's okay. At least you're moving. I'm all right with that. But the reality with that, too, is like we get comfortable and we get settled. And we don't want God to search our heart. Because what that means is there's going to be confrontation of the areas in our life that need to change. Think about that. So when you pray this, search me, O God. Are you ready for God to reveal it? Is your heart at that moment where you go, I just said it, I don't really mean it? Or are you at a moment where, like, I said it and I mean it and I need him to search my heart? I need to know that God is there and that he's molding me, and I've said yes, 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 yes. Even in the moments I said no, what I really mean is yes, God. The next one is this. This is the last one. Send me. And this is where I get with the Uber, right? Now, Uber, with God, if you've heard that song, please, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Great song, sort of. It's not something I would probably put on the radio or listen to, but there was a time in my life that I like, yeah, Jesus, take the wheel so I can just chill and relax. My 15-year-old, he's starting to learn how to drive now. I can't relax yet with him behind the wheel. Just not there yet. I don't know if I'll ever be there, but if I am, that I can just sit back, hit the butt warmer, chill out, fall asleep, and go, okay, we finally made it. Right? That's exciting. My wife has had it easy on long trips. She brings like 5 books on long trips, and I just drive and drive. And then there were moments I've said, I'm really tired. You got this. You're good. Hey, you want to get Starbucks? Really? Yeah. If we have to. Like those, like, being a passenger is not all bad. Right? You're just chilling, and then you get to go, hey, look out! Or go, my favorite right now, too, you know, I've lost a couple of years going, hey! And it's not an accident or anything. It's like, there's a cool cow. What? I just lost part of my life. Anyway? No? All right. Like, driving, there's responsibility. You have to be attentive. You have to be aware of everybody else driving. Right? Hopefully. One of the Sundays that my boy's been driving here from Decatur on Sunday mornings, he had his first time where it was merging. The interstates were merging together. And he had a person that was coming into the right lane that he was in. They didn't see him. And he just started going, ah! I don't know! Ah! Just gripped, white-knuckled it, started going over. Michelle is sitting in the passenger seat going, ah! Ah! Honk your horn! And he's like, I don't think they spoke English that morning, I'm guessing. There was a lot of grunts and a lot of stuff, right? And he did not leave, his hands did not leave that wheel. It just went over and he slowed down. And then the person finally went, oh, I almost killed somebody. That's cool. I'll go back over. Right? Gets back on the road and he's like, that terrified him that morning. All that they could think about was when they sat there, we almost died, Dad. Like, oh, good thing you're here. Right? Would have been a weird Sunday. But no, like there's some responsibility to that, being in the driver's seat. Do you understand within the concept of us and God? He doesn't want to come in and take the wheel from you, but he wants to guide you where you go. That he wants to be the one that gives you direction and be the one who's like, hey, that's not going to be a good area for you to go down. Trust me on this. We've got the Ten Commandments because of this. We've got warnings of how to live because of this. But God doesn't want necessarily to come in and just take the wheel and you relax and just enjoy the ride. That's not it. That's not what sin means. Let me show you where it is. All right? It's in Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Can you imagine if we sat here this morning and an audible voice just said, who can I send this morning? And we all just sat here and go, who said that? Who is the godly among us that will follow me, that I can send? Do you understand that God is asking that all the time with us? One of the amazing things in youth ministry that I've seen is there's been a couple conversations, and I love teens because you can have honest conversations with teens. They'll ballpoint, tell you where they're at. Yeah, I haven't heard God in like 3 months, Pastor Ben. You know, scripture's boring. Prayer life, I start to pray and I fall asleep. Like, I get that. And I think a lot of adults are right there in that. We're just, oh, well, no, I can't share that. I'm an adult. I've got an image to behold. See, within this context, God is wanting to send you. But the hard thing is when he's sending, he's like five exits ahead where we just get out of the car. We just went in the park and go, okay, I'm happy right here. That whole comfortable thing. We found a rest area and we just like, hey, this is pretty. Let's just chill right here. I like this spiritual thought process. Or I think we like to do too with God is, hey, let's go back to where church used to be. I really liked that. You know that moment where I got saved? They had really good music. The pastor knew what he was saying. He didn't say things like, I don't know. I'm not going to repeat it. He didn't say things that embarrassed me and didn't want me to bring people here. Like, let's go back to a better time. Let's revisit those times, God. Like, we do that. And God's saying, no. We don't live in the nostalgia. I need you to move forward. And what happens when we get in that routine is, we do start to lose the hearing of who God is, where God is. You know why? Because he's so far away. You see, God, at the moment that we decide we want him to live and reside, reign in his will, be right here, from that moment on, he's wanting to move us. He's wanting to use you. I don't care where you're at spiritually, he wants to use you. All right? Think about that. You don't have to be perfect this morning. You have to just be willing to say yes, and he will use you. And what I've noticed too is like, your reputation might follow you, but when you do stuff for God, it gets noticed even more when it goes against what you used to be. People will start to notice even more and go, this doesn't correlate. Tell me about it. Well, you know what? I finally gave all the guiding and the GPS of my life to God. I stopped playing this game, and I said, here I am. send me. And in that, nations were changed. You see, Isaiah is a prophet, and he lived in Jerusalem, and you had a couple of people that were running Jerusalem, and it was not going well. And God said, I will send you to go and talk and give this message of hope, but also judgment. And it's not going to be received very well. Can you imagine going, hey, you need to go home and you need to go start a fight? Can you imagine hearing that voice say that? Going, no, I'm not going to do that today. Now, I'm not giving you permission to go home and go, you guys are all evil. Not doing that. What I'm saying is listen to what God is saying and to go home. And then sometimes if you're honest with God and you're going, God, you sent me. Now I have to go give a difficult message to my family that is far from you. But it doesn't come with just judgment. It comes with hope. It comes with love. It comes with grace. It comes with this embracing of who God is, and salvation comes with that. You see, Isaiah did not have an easy job, and it was not received. The leaders did not take what he had to say, and actually Jerusalem fell. And then the note came out that he was right, and they had to repent. And then there was hope. You see? Another story that I found interesting was in Esther. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Wow. See, Esther is an awesome book. I love Esther's book. It's about this woman who became a king's wife, randomly it felt like. She entered like this beauty pageant, and she won, and her winnings was this weird drunken king, right? Kind of a weird thing. The king didn't know she was a Jew and didn't know that her uncle was a Jew who was with her, all right? And they were kind of, you marry the king, you got some special treatment, right? And then the king had this assistant that was high up and didn't like Esther's uncle, wanted to kill him, wanted to just done. And so he tricked the king into making this decree of like, hey, I can't say the month, but April 13th, all right? It's time to kill all the Jews during that time. He made this decree. So Esther hears this and knows, well, that's not good. How do I deal with this? And just to let you know, you even as a queen, you didn't approach the king. The king approached you. And so knowing this, she begged the people around her, hey, be in earnest in prayer, be fasting. I'm going to go and confront my king. And if I perish, I perish. Now think about that in the prayer of saying, Lord, send me. Can you hear that? That's one of those moments where you stand up and you follow that leader. The person that's like, hey, if I perish, I perish. But I know what God wants. And I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to follow it. And if I need to go love the person that's unlovable, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to confront the wrong that needs to be confronted, I'm going to do it. Because I know God is leading me to do it. I can't allow my life to be filled with excuses of not to. I can't be the one that's driving an Uber and says, hey, there's too much traffic that way. I don't want to go. We need to be the one that says, head on, God is right there with me. Let's go. It needs to be that road trip that you go, okay, God, wherever you go, wherever you say, I think I'm packed enough. Let's do this. And he goes, well, this is going to be for a year. Are you ready? Well, I didn't pack that much. Are you still ready? Let's go. Can you imagine living that way? It's scary. Because we put our foundations in places. We say, this is who I am. I am this address, and I am this this person that has this job, and I have a family that I got to take care of, but God says at random moments, hey, follow me, let's go. And there are moments in our life that are critical when it comes to God, and we say this prayer, send me. Are we ready for that? As a church body, we have to be ready for that. Can you imagine if we listen to this prayer and we as a church body says, God, send me, send us. And we exit here. What does that look like in your community then? How do you see the people that wait on you? How do you see the people that live by you? How do you see your coworkers from this point on? Because the reality is this, everybody has a call in their life. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, what it means to be a church, and as part of that is to be disciple makers. So whether you know it or not, you're already being sent to go and love people, disciple people, and be discipled. That's your commission. That's what it means to be sent. And sometimes you'll be rejected. Sometimes you'll even be mocked. Sometimes you'll even be trampled. But the reality is, you're doing this with God, so that doesn't matter. If I perish, I perish. See, Esther went in, and she was smart, and she was listening. And what the cool thing about Esther that you read it, there's no mention of God in the book of Esther. You realize that? There's no mention of God. This is actually a time period where, like, God was not, his voice wasn't being heard as much. See, Scripture is so relevant today. There are moments that we don't hear God. There are moments we feel like our nation's not bowing. God still wants to use you. And the cool thing about Esther is, like, in the undertones, even Esther was having struggles being what God had called her. Even in the undertones, she was still willing to listen, to be used and find redemption. And the whole thing turned around. The king at that time had a dream, and he remembered what Malachi, her uncle, did for her. I think that was his name. What he did for her, what he did for the king, which was save his life. And he was like, okay, you know what? My assistant, he needs to be murdered. That's not, okay, all right. And I can't go against any of my decrees because it was a king's decree and it has to stay out there from now on. But what we'll do is this. I will give Jews all the rights to defend themselves and go to war with anybody that goes to war with them. And then it became a celebration. They got rid of all the people that were against the Jews because Esther said, if I go, I will go, and if I perish, I perish. That's amazing. Think about those little things within our own walk of our life. If we say, God, please send me. Please send me. The impact, the ripple effect that we have for eternity. Think about that. There have been moments where I stay awake because I did not pray this prayer. And I look back at my life, and I missed out on opportunities that I know God was way down there, and I was too selfish. I was comfortable. I wanted to be served. I came to church, and I was like, feed me, feed me, feed me. And he said, you've been fed. Now I need you to go. Let me send you. And I didn't. And to this day, I worry about some of my friends. And I missed out on some opportunities there to share the gospel. I missed some of the opportunities to be a part of God's plan. Because I was too busy being comfortable, too busy with life to not be sent. It's easy to be worried about God. It's easy to be worried about myself. And not about what God has for me, and expect God to be more worried about me and my needs. It's reversed. when we pray this. If I say, God, please send me, I'm worried more about what God wants from me than what I can get from God. And that's part of maturing as a follower of Christ. Are you saving help? I do not conceal. Well, let's make sure I'm in the right place. I proclaim your saving acts the greatest in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide my righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love, your faithfulness from the great assembly. Think about that. Imagine if I'm driving, right? And everybody that I drove by, I am this walking billboard of this. Everybody I bump into at work, I am this walking billboard that God is my righteousness. Not a bullhorn. Not somebody that's going overwhelming and just punishes people with the word of God. Not just somebody that punishes people with his righteousness. But is overwhelming by their acts of going, okay, I know I need to take an extra mile with you today. I know you didn't live in that way. That the people that you have neighbors that it's easy to be critical of, we're inspired by God to go and say, I love them by your actions. Like it changes a whole perception of how we live and we walk. And all of a sudden his voice gets louder because we're in the car and he's right next to us saying, hey, this next turn, it's going to be a doozy. You're going to have to forgive somebody that it's not easy to forgive them. This is where I'm sending you. Hey, this next turn, there's AA. You need to recover. This next turn, when you go into Walmart, I need you not to be critical with your eye, but know that the people that are in here are my creation, that I love them, and so should you. When we do this, we say this part of that prayer. We rhyme with David. Everything about me, I hope, shines your love. Everything about me, where you send me, I will carry you and in honor and know that you are my God and my King and I serve you and the people around me need see that through my actions. See that in my words of affirmation. That they know where I work, that I don't have to bring the Bible out. I know the Bible and I live out that scripture. That changes everything. It's dangerous to pray, send me. It doesn't mean you give up the wheel. It means you give control to your passenger of life. And God says, okay, let's go here. And you go ahead and say, all right, let's do this. Is there even a road here? I believe you. Please send me. The question I would ask right now is, are you surrendered and completely available to God right now? Is this residing in you? What holds you back from this? Another question would be, are you ready to let God send you no matter where it leads? I want you to live with these two questions this week. Are you surrendered and completely available to God right now? Absorb that. Take it in. What it hasn't been surrendered? What's keeping you from growing with God? Moving with God, going on this awesome trip with God. Is it just being comfortable? Is it fears? Is it anxiety? Is this the fear of the unknown? Like, if I share God's love, how's it going to be received? Are they going to test me on my scripture knowledge? Like, it's easy to have these questions. You need to have that discussion with God. Need to. Are you ready to let go? Let God send you no matter where it leads. Pray that this week. And if you are, I would urge you then to pray the prayer, send me. All these prayers, I don't want you just to go home and just pray them and go, okay, God's going to do this. If you pray this, what you're saying is, I commit my life to this. Thy will be done. This is His now. I commit that. Search me, God. I commit that. You tell me. Let me hear it. I need to know. And with an attitude of reception, with an attitude that's going to receive it, not condemn it, not to be frustrated by it. One with bended knee. And then send me. If I'm honestly praying that, follow. Listen to it. I love that song, Surrender All. Are you ready to surrender all and follow God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that we ask these two questions with you this morning. Am I ready to surrender to you? Am I ready to let you take control? Lord, am I ready to follow you and be led by you? I pray this week that we can ask that question. I pray that we wrestle with it, that we search, that we allow you to search our heart, Lord, and if it, any of those areas in our life that are contradicting us being able to follow you and be sent by you, I pray that you reveal it, that you confront it, that we receive it, and that we repent of it. Lord, I pray that we're ready to be on a trip with you, that we give you full control, that we say yes to you when we're asked to go and follow you, to be led by you. Maybe that looks like sharing the gospel with our neighbor. Maybe that looks like having a difficult question or difficult conversation with our spouse. Maybe that means loving somebody that's a complete stranger and sacrificing for them. Lord, I pray that you do some work on us this week. I pray that we come back with some testimonies of this week, that you know that I've heard God send me to this place and that I follow it, and I had a moment with God that it's been so amazing. Lord, I pray that we can say yes to you. And there's no hesitation. May we go today. Expecting you to move in us. May we go knowing that we have this opportunity to say yes to you. May we know that our sins can be washed away, that you forgive us. May we understand that there's no excuses big enough. There's nothing in us that can stand in the way of what you want us to do. If we just say yes to you this week, may you have the throne of our hearts this week. And may we be sent in your name. Amen. Church, go knowing that God loves you and has a call on your life this morning.